Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Best of the Drive. Catch up on the show here every day or listen weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's today's Best of the Drive.
You guys are probably expecting me to come on here and be really mad at the Chiefs for not signing James Bradberry. If you missed it, James Bradberry today signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. It says that it's a one-year, $10 million deal. It's really a one-year, $7.25 million deal with the rest in incentives that he could earn up to $10 million. Which is certainly a great contract that I would have liked for the Chiefs to be able to sign. One thing that has frustrated me a little bit this offseason is I was told they traded Tyreek Hill for all this cap flexibility. Well, they haven't done anything with the cap flexibility since not signing Tyreek Hill, but maybe that's a next year conversation. But I do think it's a fairly interesting look into how the Chiefs feel. The Chiefs are done at corner. I didn't want to admit it. I don't agree with being done at the position. But if there's a capable corner that's available on a one-year, $7 million guaranteed price point, and that's not a player that you sign, I think it's fair to say that you're probably not in the market for corner. That, Rob, you were right. You said that they had made their picks, they made their selection, they're going with the youth movement at corner, and that this is not something that they are going to address. I would even agree that defensive line is a bigger need for the Chiefs than a veteran corner. I still want them to sign a veteran corner. I look at a team right now that has an inconsistent pass rush, and a lot of youth on the back half of that defense in their secondary. Those two things normally don't equal a lot of success. But let's see how their cornerback group shapes up, because they got a lot of depth. There's a lot of names. There's a lot of guys who have been in the system now for some time. So let's see how that plays itself out. But I do think one thing is interesting and also apparent by them not signing James Bradberry. And if you want to throw Melvin Ingram into this conversation, they're not spending any more significant money if it's not on Orlando Brown. I think that conversation is done. I'm not saying that they won't make another player move, because they probably will. But if $5 million was too much for Melvin Ingram and $7 million was too much for James Bradberry, we can go ahead and end that clowny conversation today. They're not spending significant money to go get Clowney, because Clowney's coming in at 1 year, $10 million that could be $14 million. That's what he signs just about every year. So I do think that's the moral of today. I really wanted him to get James Bradberry. I think he was the best available corner. He fit a need for this team. I think he would have been their number one corner. Chiefs didn't sign him. All right, what's next? I would now be surprised if they made a move at corner, but maybe they go pick up a veteran on a cheap deal. You can go get Xavier Rhodes. You can go get Joe Hayden. There's some veteran moves out there that you can probably get on the cheap. But Rob, I think the biggest message with all of this is they're not spending significant money anymore on this defense. If they weren't willing to spend a little extra on Melvin Ingram, if they weren't willing to be serious players in the veteran corner market at $7 million, I think they're making incremental moves the rest of the way, or they have a plan in case someone gets cut. Now, I don't think that pass rush and corner are something that you're expecting to pick up on June 1st cuts. Those are typically guys that are in the same vein of players we've been talking about. Guys over 30, guys who have been hurt, guys who got big money elsewhere, that their team is ready to go younger, go cheaper, and they're moving on from those players. You're not finding a lot of great production in June 1 cuts. Those guys have already been let go, or teams are keeping on to those players because they're too valuable to simply let walk away. But that's what I think the moral of this James Bradberry thing is. We can look at some guys who we think are really going to get paid, and that conversation's over. The top text right now, how about if we made a trade for Josh Allen of Jacksonville? Josh Allen of Jacksonville would get a new contract. Nothing about the Chiefs' energy would let me know, A, I don't think you're trading. If I'm Jacksonville, the time to trade Josh Allen is now over. Why would I trade a player for this year when I can't get any of the benefits until next draft season? I would have traded him before the draft if I was going to do it. And if I'm Josh Allen, I'm playing under a new deal, and I don't think the Chiefs are giving out any more money. So that Josh Allen conversation from Jacksonville is over. That was a March conversation, an April conversation, not a May and June conversation. He's on the Jaguars. So we need to be talking about cheap players, veteran players that are going to make around $2 to $5 million, and that's the market they're in the rest of the way.
I think we're saying the same thing, maybe we're saying it differently. The only thing I think the Chiefs will do the rest of this offseason is a Morris Claiborne move. Oh, wow. Can you believe Team X cut this player? They're going to eat most of the money. Let's take a nothing flyer. That's basically what they did with Morris Claiborne. Morris Claiborne then wasn't good, and we can disagree and on if that's a good system to build a pass rush, but I think the Chiefs, because it is, but we don't disagree on that.
That's what I was going to say. Really quick, sorry to cut you off here.
No, you're fine.
If they're claiming that they're going to do the Morris Claiborne thing on pass rush, let's not even waste our time. If you're trying to find the 34-year-old pass rush guy who's simply hanging on by a thread and we're hoping that it's going to work, that's not a plan on fixing the 28th ranked pass rush from last season. Now, maybe you do that on corner and you're thinking kind of like Lonnie Johnson. Like, I actually would put Lonnie Johnson in that category you're talking about. Lonnie Johnson, to me, is the ultimate flyer. A future seventh-round pick, if he makes it, cool. If he doesn't make it, it doesn't matter. We just drafted three corners. Like, Lonnie Johnson is probably on the outside looking in when it comes to making this team. At pass rush, if you're waiting for a June 1 cut for a guy, that's probably not a guy that you can count on to get pass rush. That's not the way to approach that position. So if you're looking for the Mo Claiborne type, Rob, that guy is not going to be able to solve the problem that we think exists with this team in getting able to the quarterback. I don't have any problems with you taking the flyer on Josh Gordon at wide receiver or taking the flyer on Mo Claiborne at corner. Sometimes you're going to do those things. But this team needs immediate help at pass rush. And you typically only get it by drafting it, and the draft is now over, or spending a little bit of money. And they haven't shown that they want to spend any money defensively.
I think the Chiefs used, I don't say their resources a word term, but they've shown with their resources that they're done in defense, because if the season started tomorrow, you look at the Chiefs too deep, they're set at every position. They don't really have a position of need, so they don't need to go out and spend. We can disagree if edge is good enough, but they have a two deep at every position that they feel like they can play with on Sunday, September, whatever. Which makes me think that they'll walk into camp thinking that anything they add is a luxury. You're right about Morris Claiborne being a hang on by the string guy, but I think when they brought him in that year, they viewed him as a, oh wow, let's see. Because going into that year, they had Charvarius Ward. They had Kendall Fuller. They had just brought in Tyrann Mathieu, who's a jack of all trades. And I think they saw Morris Claiborne as, let's take another shot at it. I think that's the only thing left. And it's more likely than not, they are done. They are not going to make another move. I think they will sit at 89, maybe sign a guy you've never heard of, to get to 90 men, and that's how we're going to St. Joe. And this conversation about edge rush being good enough is going to perpetuate throughout the season.
I think this top text is perfect. I've thought this whole offseason that the Chiefs were just waiting and had some giant move that they were going to do. I'm still waiting, but I don't think it's going to happen now. I think a lot of people are in the same boat. After they traded Tyreek Hill, you would think that they had something big planned. That if you were going to do a massive thing like trade one of the best skill position players in the league, who's still playing at his prime or really close to his prime, you don't do that unless you got an incredible plan B. And I think their incredible plan B was draft. I don't think it was, hey, well, now we've got this cap space. We're going to now, hey, we're going to go get Jerry Hughes and Jadeveon Clowney with this money. We're going all in. I think some people were thinking that was going to be the plan. We now have enough evidence to suggest that was not the plan. Their plan was draft, which is a great plan for 2023. A great plan for 2024. I don't know how much that immediately helps you in 2022. Like, I'm surprised that more people aren't upset at this text message I'm going to read. 913-576-7610. CDOT, you know, it seems to me like the Chiefs are punting on this upcoming season. It blows my mind that the Chiefs have a 26-year-old Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback in the league, and all of us are not 100% convinced if they are doing everything they can to put as much talent around him this season to go win a Super Bowl. Rob comes on here and tells me every day, oh, well, you know, it's about the future, and you got to plan ahead, and you got to build for the next 5 years, and when you got a 26-year-old quarterback, when you think that you have the one player in the NFL or one of the small handful of players that you are a Super Bowl contender every year because he's on your team, that one season in the middle of his prime, we're perfectly fine with them just not putting all their resources to trying to give him everything he needs to win. They've gone cheap on receiver. They've gone cheap on running back. They've gone cheap on D-line. They've gone cheap on corner. I'm just surprised that so many people seem cool with that. He's 26. This is his prime. And we're letting guys go over 600,000? We're letting top corners go who signed for $7 million? Okay. It's about kicking the can down the road and trying to be like the Patriots and building towards 2015 or 2025. We're not only thinking short term, we're thinking long term. All right. I get it. Nobody wants to be the star that burns out very quickly. But the Chiefs, I think, have pretty openly communicated they are not spending any more money. Not any real money. They'll make a couple moves and make a couple signings, but they're not investing any more significant resources into this team. They will invest in Orlando Brown, and that's probably it. They'll sign a couple of veterans that we've heard of. They'll sign some guys that you're familiar with. They'll sign guys that their prime was a while ago.
Miss any part of the show today? Catch the Best Of podcast by subscribing to The Drive's podcast feed on 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or find the link on Twitter at 610sportskc.
I'm very happy to be joined in studio by one of the best sports writers in the country. He just walked away from the game at his peak like Barry Sanders, like Calvin Johnson. Just out the game. I mean, I signed up to the Kansas City Star Sports Pass to read your writing. And now you have crossed over. You've gone corporate. Therese used to always joke about being the corporate champ. You have officially become the corporate champ now, Sam Melliger.
Yeah. Therese's was because, if I remember right, the timing was when we started getting judged by page views a lot. So that Therese was trying.
Yeah, you got to start. You got to be the corporate champ at this point.
Got to please the corporate bosses. But yeah, it's been cool. And I do notice that you chose two Detroit Lions there to.
Can you tell people what your official title is now?
Yeah,
it probably sounds really incredible.
Vice President of Communications. What does that do for you?
Who's the president of communications? Dayton?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Dayton's my boss now.
All right, so this is why we wanted to have you on here.
Yeah,
so,
one of my bosses, I should say.
So maybe like 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we had a segment where we asked people, hey, what would get you to go to the park more?
Yeah.
You look at the attendance. You see the same attendance that I see. We've seen the kind of ebbs and flows of attendance, and mm-hmm. you guys are obviously doing things to try to boost it, right? Like you yeah. and I are on the same Twitter. We see the promotions that you guys are running. You guys are trying to get more people to come to the stadium.
Yeah.
The number one thing people complained about was the parking prices, which I think the parking prices are a little bit outrageous. It's $30 to go park at a Royals game, which I think when you see that, I think it tells a lot of people, all right, well, we'll just stay home and watch it, or we'll go do something else with our time. Can you kind of explain to people why the parking prices are so high, and is there any plan in maybe giving people a little bit relief on that?
Yeah, so it's $20 if you pay online, if you go ahead of time. So we think of the parking as $20. I remember the Chiefs, I don't remember what year it was, but I thought they put this really well. They had a higher price. I don't remember what it was. It was higher than $30. They had a higher price for parking if you paid at the gate than if you did it online. And their point was, we want you to pay the lower price. It's just, it's faster for everybody to get in and out. And I think that's where the Royals are on that as well. So, I looked this up and, I did some research to come on your show, Carrington.
Okay. Look at that.
And, like how I did that.
I see this.
Yeah. I looked at the Twins, Reds, Tigers, Cardinals, Guardians, White Sox. Feel like those are kind of peer,
yeah, makes sense.
You know, like those markets. The pricing on parking on those teams, it varies. Some of them are as low as $12. Some of them are as high as $60. So if we're $20, $30 if you pay at the gate, we're right in the middle of, you know, peer organizations in baseball.
A lot of people mention the fact, and you obviously know this, there's a lot of space out there that's just going unused during this time. So you gave the range. I think what makes a lot of sense is people brought up was like basically like a tier system. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're willing to walk, if you're willing to make the long trek, hey, it's $5 to park out here. If you want to park up close and there's certainly some more premium spots there, it's a little bit more of a premium. Have you guys ever thought about maybe being a little bit more creative with the parking prices? It's like the same way that you guys are really creative with ticket prices. I mean, you can get a $9 ticket and get $8 in concessions. That's pretty creative, I would say. You basically just said, hey, we'll let you come to the game for free, essentially, and we'll give you a hot dog and a beer on top of it, right? But when it comes to parking, it is kind of rigid. Hey, it's $20 or it's $30 at the gate here. Have you guys thought about maybe being more creative with the with the parking price?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought. I've not heard that discussed. I'm not in on the parking meetings, the you know, that kind of thing. But it's an interesting idea. But I'm glad you brought that up about the $9 tickets with $8 of concession. Like, so my point here is that price point, I know if you want to say $30, but I'll say $20 for parking. Price point is not going to be the reason that people don't come. Like you said, it's a $9 ticket. I haven't been to a movie in a while. The kids went to Bad Guys a couple weeks ago. They said it was great. I don't know what movie tickets cost, but it's probably around there, maybe a little higher. So to me, the price point, if you take into account the, you know, ticket prices, it's pretty low for a Major League Baseball game.
I just think when it comes to price point, and maybe it just adds up, is like, think about your family.
Yeah.
You got five people you're going to the game. So let's say you don't want the $9 ticket. Let's say you want the $17 tickets with the $15 concessions. All right. Yep. So you spend 17 times five. You then add in parking. Maybe you want to get something else. Like, it ends up being a $120, $140 night. And that's probably not something that you can do consistently, especially given how much things cost everywhere outside of going to the ballpark.
I hear you.
And we're not even talking about the on the field product, which obviously you don't have any choice over that. But I think people's choice is more that it's not just the one individual parking pass. It's not just the one individual ticket. Most of the time you're going with another person or a group of people. And then that starts to add up over time.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about parking specifically, if it's $20 and there's four of you in the car, it's $5 each, right? And look, I get it. I always thought this, you know, in my old job, and I think it now, and I'll think it forever. You know, it's up to the teams to be worth it, right? And so whatever those prices, wherever those prices are set, you know, they're set for a reason, and they're set because, you know, that's the bar that we got to clear. And hopefully we can do that. You know, $9 tickets, again, I think is pretty cheap, pretty affordable. Your tiered parking idea, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I listened to the segment, was it 2-3 weeks ago or mm-hmm. whatever. It's interesting. You know, there'd be some problems like enforcing something like that, right? Like somebody's going to go into lot one and they paid for lot three or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you could do an extra, you know, it's always a problem at Chiefs games, right? Like people take extra spaces. They park in one and then they got their grill set up in the one next to them. You know, maybe it's an extra charge for, you know, a tailgating spot, something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of different, like you said, the people that work on this, that live it, get creative with the loaded value tickets, you know, the drone show, you know, all these different things. And that's something we could kick around.
Are you guys still cashless right now? I actually haven't been to a baseball game since COVID. I plan on going this year, but last year, limited capacity, that's not the way I want to enjoy a sporting event. I'd much rather watch it at home, but this year it feels like everywhere it's back to normal. Are you guys still cashless at this point?
I believe so.
Is there a plan to change that?
I haven't heard a plan to change it.
Okay. No. All right. I was just wondering.
Yeah. Let me check that out.
Because someone on the text line asked, I figured I would ask at this point, are you guys frustrated with the way the TV setup is right now to watch Royals baseball this year?
Yeah. you know, never going to lie to you, right? Yeah, it is frustrating. Like we want, and this isn't me talking, you know, Sam, this is, you know, John Sherman's talked about this. Distribution is critical. And, you know, distribution, if you take the short money version or the short money view, whatever, you want the money, right? But the long-term view, which is, I think, what this ownership group is taking is, yeah, distribution is critical. And, you know, it's a bit of a spot, right? Because Bally's is our partner, and we're, you know, supportive and all those things. But, yeah, we want everybody to be able to watch our games as easily as possible, for sure.
I feel like what's happening, just from my seat, what I think is happening is I do think there is a little bit of disconnect and apathy that is setting in. Because I learned this making the documentary. I went to this thing and they were telling me about it, that most people have three streaming services. And if you don't put your movie, TV show on one of those three services, people are not going to download a new app specifically to watch exactly what you've created. So you need to figure out a way to put it on as many places as possible. I think what's happened with Royals baseball is someone like me who has YouTube TV, I'm willing to illegally find the way to watch it and put it on a TV because I got to for work. But there are some people that I think have said, all right, well, I'm not downloading a new service, or I'm not changing the way that I do this. So I'll just watch YouTube. I'll just watch Hulu. I'll just watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of created the people don't seem as nearly as invested the last couple of years because it's been made incredibly difficult for some people to watch the games.
Yeah. I mean, I think that has happened. You know, just being real with you, and that's part of why you asked if we're frustrated, and that's part of why, you know, look, we want to be available as widely as possible, and but we also need to be supportive of a partner. And look, I, you know, this isn't some discussion, some roundtable about the TV industry, right? But we are in a gap sort of period, right? It used to be one way, and that's how the system was set forever. And it'll be, everybody will be able to get the games very easily pretty soon. But we're in this gap right now. And it's frustrating. And I get it. I hear you. We want to be, again, as widely as possible. And that's part of that long money view, right? Like we want people to grow up watching games. We want the games to be on at the bar when you go there, the restaurant, whatever. Yeah, that's important to us for sure.
Are you guys optimistic about the Bally Sports Plus?
Yeah, I mean, those things are complicated beyond sort of my comprehension, you know, that's a really nuanced deal. But yeah, I mean, it will be here available for all of us soon. But then if your next question is like, what does soon mean? Then I can't give you an answer because I really don't know. But it's being worked on. And I think we might be able to package that. You talked about being creative with ways to reach fans. I think we might be able to package that in a way that will make sense for our fans.
I think that's maybe the next part of this question is there are some people that you're going to get the hardcore Royals fan, the I don't care.
Yeah.
Tell me where it is. Just like with ESPN Plus, with KU games.
Yep.
Rob is going to sign up to ESPN Plus to watch every KU basketball game.
Sure.
There are some people that, hey, I'll watch the games that are on normal TV. I don't care this much about this KU game to sign up for this service.
Yep.
Are you guys worried about maybe losing that fan? Are there enough hardcore fans that I don't care if it's $20 a month, $40 a month, I'll pay whatever, versus the person that's like, hey, well, I'm only going to wait until X, Y, and Z happens in order to purchase Bally Sports to watch you guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Royals aren't any different than any other team in town or in any other league or any other baseball team. Like, we want as many people to be interested in baseball generally and the Royals specifically as possible. I would tell you, like, the Royals are number three in baseball. I guess that doesn't include Toronto, but number three among American baseball cities in TV ratings. So I do like that. Like, people are still engaged. People are still watching. But yeah, I mean, all these things that you're bringing up, they're smart points. They're things that you should be bringing up. They're things that we're talking about. We want the games to be as easily as available as possible. And there's people that are working on that.
Are you going to bring back the Krispy Kreme donut promotion? Did that ever leave us?
I would read 2,000 words on that promo. But I mean, there's other stuff. Like, I heard in that segment you guys were talking like a couple weeks ago, like the kids run. We still do that, you know, fireworks on Fridays. I mean, there's things we're trying to do.
I love running the bases. It was great. Running the bases was great.
Yeah, come on out.
But we need to bring the donuts back. Do we need to call up Krispy Kreme? Can we get Lamar's on board?
Wasn't there a problem with I shouldn't say it when we're live on air, but wasn't there a problem with the stores? Like, they were just getting shut down. If I remember right,
I heard
people would go straight from the game to the Krispy Kreme.
Oh,
and people were like, come on,
the
man.
The one over there on Independence, right next to the, every
crushed.
Time, they would get 12
just
hits, and I would
crushed.
Just, I don't care about this game, they're losing anyway, as well go
top
get my
seven,
donuts.
You're gone. Yep.
There's actually, I heard this, I can't confirm this, I don't know 100%, but there are no Krispy Kremes in Missouri right now.
You know what, I heard you say that on the air the other day, and I was like, that can't be right, and I was thinking, I was like, all the Krispy Kremes I know about are in Kansas. I don't know. Like the peanut thing, right? Like the peanuts that are in Kansas have a different chicken distributor than the peanuts in Missouri.
This is something you would have wrote a story about back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we need you on our side. This is why we need you here. 913-576-7610. If you guys have a question for Sam Mellinger, he is the vice president of communications. It's very weird now saying your job title because you've never been that in my life until today.
That's right. No, it's still feeling a little bit weird to me sometimes too.
If you guys have a question for Sam Mellinger, 913-576-7610 will ask your question. How are you enjoying being on the other side of it?
Yeah, it's been good, man. I mean, it's something new, right? Like, the only thing that not the only thing, but one thing that bothered me when I was going back and forth and deciding whether to do it or not was of the tiny percentage of people in the world who give the smallest damn about what I do professionally. Some of those people might see it as like, he's dumping journalism. He's, you know, he's out of here. Sick of newspapers, whatever. And that wasn't it at all. I love that job. I think you know that. I would have been happy doing that for the rest of my life, for the rest of my working life. It was a chance to, one, like, work with a lot of people that I knew and respected and saw how they treated each other and do something new and see sports, you know, from a different side instead of, and again, I love that job, but, you know, watching it and talking about it, writing about it. Now you're kind of in it, trying to make things happen. So something new, and it's been great. It's been great so far. The people there have treated me incredibly well. It's crazy.
Were you surprised at the outpouring of people that care one way or the other?
Yeah.
'Cause I think it's like an art nature. Like, you don't really think about yourself in that way.
Yeah.
But then when you announce something major happens, you see the negative outcome, you see the positive outcome, and like all these, like, I waited a couple of days to text you because I'm like, everybody has texted you with this. I saw like Trey Wingo commented on the Q-Hip move. You know what I mean? Like it reached very far and wide. Were you surprised that people's response to you making this decision?
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked. I was overwhelmed. It was really cool. Like it's the only job I ever wanted to do. And the reasons that I wanted to do it materialized and they were real. But what I didn't know before I started that job, and I'm talking about the column job specifically, is the connections that you build, you know, not just with like sources or whatever, but more I'm talking about with people, with fans, and you become part of their lives and they become part of your lives. And that was something that I didn't realize. I was just ignorant about it. I just didn't know that that would happen. And then that's when that came back, you know, and it's been great. I mean, there's been a lot of those people would track me down, you know, at the Royals, because my KC Star email address got that got blown up pretty quick. Like they cut that off. But people reached out to me, you know, in my new job. And it's been cool to continue to, you know, how are your kids? And, you know, how are you feeling about this? I mean, all those relationships have maintained. It's been really great.
Really quick question here. Yeah. We got like 2 minutes left. Why did you guys move Buck Nights to Tuesday as opposed to keeping them on Friday? Friday Buck Night was a staple.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thought there was we've got fireworks, drone show, that kind of thing on Fridays. Let's move a promotion to Tuesday and help people come out, you know, make that a more attractive deal as well.
Okay.
Can I say something, too, real quick? I should have said this off the top, but the attendance, look, we want it to be better, right? Like, we want,
of course. You
know, we want it to be full every night. It's actually up 8.5% from 2000 and the last regular year.
19.
It's up 8.5% year over year from 2019. So people and Major League Baseball, I believe, is down about 4 or 5%. So again, we want to do better. We want everybody to come out, but I just want that out there.
And I imagine you guys are anticipating that once school gets out, you'll 100%. See another jump. Another,
that's how it always is.
Yeah, always.
And also, I mean, if we get days like this, right? I mean, it was comically, the weather was just like, you know, you'll get calls if I describe the weather the way that I have it in my head, right? Like, just incredibly terrible for a long time. I wouldn't have gone out there, you know, paying for a ticket when it's 48 degrees and it's rainy and windy and all that. I get it.
No, you guys definitely had a bad string of luck there with the weather. That's Sam Melliger. Yep. He is the vice president of communications for the Kansas City Royals. Sam, this is the first time you've been on the show in a long time.
It really is.
Danny
it
was
really
here is. The last time you came on the
is
show.
Is that right?
Danny was. That's how long ago it was.
Danny hasn't been here forever.
A
man.
Long yeah, time. Yeah,
yeah. Happy to come anytime, man.
All right, the Royals have a day game tomorrow, so I will not be here, but I'll be here the day after that. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.